So we're going to continue in our sermon series this morning, and it's probably one of the things I like to talk about the most with people, and that is simply this: God, are you there? That's the question we're going to wrestle with a little bit. God, where are you? God, are you there? God, are you near? God, are you paying attention to what's happened in my life? God, are you out there somewhere? And it resonates real strongly with this passage that we've been reading in 1 Kings 18 and 19. And so in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, we find Elijah, as we all know, he goes and he fights against the prophets of Baal through a challenge. And the challenge was, you build an altar, I build an altar, and we both pray to our gods. You pray to Baal, and I'll pray to the God of the Bible, and whichever one answers is the God. And so we know that God answers. Elijah doesn't answer the prophets of Baal. And then after that, he goes again quickly, and then he does another prophetic thing where he prophesies that rain's going to come to a place where there was a drought. And then soon after that, he gets word that Jezebel, this evil queen, wants to kill him. And so he takes off running. And that's where we spent the last 2 weeks. We spent the last 2 weeks where we find Elijah running. He sits under a broom tree in the wilderness in the desert, and he literally says, "It is too much for me to handle. I want to die." And I think we can all resonate with that. I really do. I think maybe not running out to the wilderness and sitting under the tree and wanting to die, but also maybe the feeling of being overwhelmed, the feeling that there's just a lot happening in our life right now. And these are those moments that the enemy loves to come in. The moment the enemy loves to send a Jezebel coming after us, and maybe that comes in the form of our finances, or comes in the form of our job, or our boss, or our own mistakes that we made, or guilt of the past. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's these moments that we have this voice coming after us saying, we're not worthy, we're not good enough, we're out to get you, and then at some point we just kind of throw our hands up and say, all right, I've kind of had enough. I've just had enough. And so this is what Elijah does. The Lord sustains him. We talked about the last 2 weeks particularly, where the Lord sustains him when he felt overwhelmed that he couldn't handle it anymore. And we find that prayer is powerful, and that at times, even when we don't feel like we want to pray, those are the times where we really should pray. And then God sustains him and sends him to the cave. And so this is now where we find him today. We're actually going to read in 1 Kings chapter 19. So we're going to turn to chapter 19, verse 9, and we're going to pick it up here. And I really do believe that the Lord is going to speak to you today about maybe not only where he is, but how do we hear him in the moments of the whisper. And I love that. We're going to read that in our text today, that oftentimes God's not speaking possibly through these big natural, supernatural movements, but maybe he's just whispering, and he's near to us, and he's not hiding from us. And I think these are all very important reminders for all of us. I know it's important for me to be reminded that, God, you're still here, you haven't left, you're still speaking, you're still doing great things in the midst of all the things going on around us in the world. And so Elijah goes to a cave, and so let's begin to read in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 9. He says, "There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him." And now, watch this. Remember, it's very important to remember that the Lord is the one who sent Elijah to the cave. And so real quickly, just make sure you're paying attention. Who sent Elijah to the cave? Let me hear you. Yeah, it was God, right? The Lord sent him there. And so Elijah's in the cave where the Lord told him to go. And then the word came to him, and this is what God said to him. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And it's amazing to me he asked that question. But he's asking the question behind the question. Listen, we know that God knows the answer to that question. But he's asking Elijah, what are you doing here? We're going to talk about that here in just a few moments. Elijah responds. So he gives him an answer. He doesn't say, "God, you told me to come here," because Elijah knew the question God was asking him. Elijah says this. He says, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel had forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek to kill my life and take it away." He's feeling alone, abandoned. I'm the only one left. Everybody else is dead. Everybody else is gone. And now they're after me. This is what I'm doing here, God. And so God says, "Go stand out on the mount of the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by him. And I want you to pay attention to what happens here. The Lord passed by him, and it says a great and strong wind tore through the mountains, broke it into pieces. Rocks of the Lord went everywhere, rocks went everywhere. But it says this, it says that the Lord was not in the wind, though. Then, after the wind, came an earthquake. This earthquake shook the mountain. Rocks falling everywhere. It says the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then it goes on to the next one. You can imagine this one. After the earthquake, it says there was a fire. Great fire. It says that the Lord was not. And if I love sound effects, by the way. Doesn't make it real. I feel like I'm like the audible Bible reading it to you and you got sound effects. So awesome. Thank you. But then watch this. After the fire, it's the sound of a low whisper. And at that low whisper, when Elijah heard it, it says he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And so he just walks out, puts the, it's something that Moses did, others, hide your face before God. He goes out and he said he stood at the entrance of the cave and said a voice spoke in that whisper, in that moment, and asked the same question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? As I've read through scripture for countless years, I'm always fascinated by that question that God asked Elijah. It's a similar question, isn't it, to what he asked Adam and Eve in the garden, right in the beginning. You know, after Adam and Eve fell and sinned, they hid because they were ashamed and they hid. This is a God who naturally, regularly came and spent time and walked in the garden, calls out to Adam and Eve and says, hey, where are you? It's amazing that God asks questions he already knows the answers to. He already knows the answer of why Elijah's at the cave. He knew the answer of why Adam and Eve were hiding. And I really do think that oftentimes God wants us to own where we are. To recognize and own, not blame God, not say, well, God, you told us to come here, or God, you put a tree in the garden that we could, just don't put the tree in the garden. That's the answer. But you put a tree in the garden that we can't eat from, and now we eat from it, and now we're hiding because we're ashamed. Elijah, well, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm depressed. I'm the only one left. Somebody's trying to kill me. You sent me to the cave. You're the one that called me into ministry in the first place. What do you mean, what am I doing here? But I think so often, if we're not careful, we find ourselves in that same spot. The way I always interpret it for my own life is, how did life get to this point? So maybe the question is, what are you doing here? I'm not talking about here on a Sunday morning at Crossroads Fellowship or wherever you're watching online or in the chat. I'm not talking about where you are. I'm talking about where you are, like really. Where you are as a person. Where you are spiritually. Where you are at your inner core of who you are. Where you are in a mental state right now. Where are you physically? Where are you relationally? I think it expands all of these arenas. But God still asks the question, where are you? How did life get this point? How did it get here? We can often feel overwhelmed in that. And it's in those overwhelming moments that I think oftentimes we find ourselves in an unhealthy moment. Elijah's very unhealthy. The Lord had to sustain him and send him. And the rest of Elijah's story, by the way, is Elijah comes onto the scene. God tells Elijah with a J that he's going to hand his mantle, prophetic mantle, to another person. And so Elijah with the J goes and finds Elisha with an S and an H, and he finds him plowing in a field. And after he kind of downloads what God told him, Elijah, you still see his depression, you still see his sadness. He then turns and says, what have I done to you now? Now what have I done? And then soon after that, God just takes Elijah in a whirlwind to heaven. Where are you? And I think when we ask that question, where are you, we also have to ask the question, because there's a good answer, God, where are you? God, where are you in the midst of all this happening in my life? God, where are you around me? Where are you in the middle of what I'm going through? Where are you in my hardships? Come on, church, have you ever asked that question to God? I've asked that question. Let's just be honest. How often have you asked the question, God, where are you? God, are you not paying attention to my pain? Are you not paying attention to what's going on in the world around us? And at times we're not careful, we kind of get our minds tracked in a certain way and we start hoping for something. We start longing for something. We start wondering where God has been. We start hoping for things. And maybe this last year you've been hoping that this year would have been different. Maybe you were hoping that this last year things would have been shaping up a little different. Maybe you had hoped by this point this year, like me, that we'd be way beyond where we are right now. Has anybody else thought that or hoped that? I hope that we were way beyond this point that we are, and we could set ourselves up with all these things that we kind of hope for and all the things we hope for. I'm sure Elijah was hoping for something different, and maybe you have been hoping for something different as well. But yeah, we find Elijah there, and I want to hone in real quickly before I go into the main points today. I want to kind of hone in on the three things that happened to Elijah in the cave. I don't want to read too much into it. I don't like messing with scripture and trying to read things that aren't there, but I do want to point out a few things. The first one is this, as we've been talking about this, we've been talking about the passage that we're looking at. It's interesting to me, the first one that God sent was a great and a mighty wind. DJ, can we have that sound effect again? There we go. Oh, you can imagine that, right? You can imagine, turn up, give us a little volume here. There you go. There's this strong wind that's whipping, and you're kind of listening for God, and it's whipping, and it's tearing the mountain apart as the trees are falling over. That's what the Bible says. But God wasn't there. And when I read that, this is how I interpreted that for us today. Perhaps you in your life, you feel really tossed around by the winds of this last year. As I read that, I said, well, God wasn't in that. But I also know that the reality is maybe part of the reason why you feel overwhelmed is because maybe you feel like you've just been tossed around by the wind constantly. It's just blowing from all different directions, and it's just happening all around, and it's just amazing how sometimes we feel that way. And then again, the second one, wow, you can imagine that was the earthquake. Again, we got that sound effect. You can imagine that feeling of that ground shaking, the rocks coming down. Has anybody ever been in an earthquake, by the way? Not a North Carolina earthquake. I mean like a real earthquake. Anybody been in a real earthquake? I've been in one this last year. It's terrifying. And it was a small one. Imagine this one. This is the mountain shaking, and he's looking and listening, and you would think that surely God's in there. But again, as I read that, I couldn't help but think about the overwhelmingness that maybe we feel. Maybe we feel as though everything's been shaken. Our foundation, our faith, things that we thought we were secure in, our jobs, relationships. There's been so many things that have been shaken this last year, and perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like, yeah, that's me, that I feel like everything has been just shaken around me. And then the third one, again, to bring it back home, that third one is that fire that just hits, that raging fire that's hitting. You imagine Elijah feeling maybe even the heat from that and seeing it and smelling the smoke from that. And again, he's not in that fire. I read that one, I kind of laughed to myself. I said, I feel like I've been a fireman this last year, just putting out fires constantly. Fires in our family, fires in, not literal fires anymore in the church, but fires in the church, fires in ministry, fires out in the community. You feel like you're just constantly, or maybe you feel like things have just been on fire around you. You know, that feeling just being on fire. And what I love, and I so love about God that I want to just kind of lead from this morning is that last one that we have the sound effect for is just that gentle breeze. Just that whisper, just that gentleness. And God spoke in the whisper. I've read that passage a lot, and maybe just because of the nature of where we are, that whisper, the sound that God spoke in the whisper just really stuck out to me. The whisper, it's intimate, isn't it? It's an intimate thing. You have to be close to hear somebody speak in the whisper. By the way, did you ever meet somebody that doesn't know how to whisper? Anybody know people like that? They think they're whispering, but they're not. They just change their inflection of their voice. They're like, hey, how you doing? Like, you're not whispering. Yes, I am. No, you're just changing your sound a little bit. You're not whispering. But I thought about, because often we see God of the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. You don't think of God and even Jesus as whispering. You think of God as being loud and literally sending fire and storm and boisterous, like the sound of thunder. Even in Revelation, coming back with the sound of rushing waters, you hear of that. But how often do we ever think about that maybe God has been speaking to you in the whisper? See, I like the whisper because if I'm going to hear somebody whispering, I got to pay attention. I got to get rid of distractions around me. And I think maybe, if anything else, what this last year has done, it's caused a lot of distractions in a lot of people's lives. I know it's easy to get distracted. You get distracted by news or media. You get distracted by your own stuff. And sometimes it's maybe hard to even hear what God's saying to us. It's in the whisper moments. The whisper, what God's trying to do. The closeness, the nearness to Him. The reality is this, everyone is searching for something. Right now, everybody's searching for something. We're searching for maybe a different job. Maybe we're searching for different income streams. We're searching for relationship. Maybe we're searching for health. Maybe we're even searching for purpose and meaning in life. Maybe we're searching for direction in life. And we're searching for all these different things. All these things. So what about you? What are you searching for? What is it right now this morning that you are longing for, that you are hoping for, that you are searching for? Maybe it's an answer. Maybe it's a thing you've been praying for a long time. Maybe you're searching for the end of whatever crazy season we are in as a culture around us. And back to 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophets of Baal were searching. And I want to bring you back to this because it's so important when we talk about God, where are you, and God, are you there? In 1 Kings 18, verse 28 and 29, just two short verses, it says, they cried aloud, they cut themselves, as was their custom, with swords and lances until blood gushed upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on. I like that word rave. It gives a good word picture of what was happening. It raved on until the time of the offering. Now watch this, though. It says, but there was no voice, no one answered, and nobody paid attention. These prophets of Baal, they were jumping around and dancing and shouting and cutting themselves and trying to get the attention of something that was not even real, wasn't even there. They sacrificed themselves for it. They gave their life for it. They literally gave their lives for something that didn't even exist, that was man-made. So God, where are you? I think sometimes also maybe the loneliness we feel or the reality that maybe we don't feel is maybe we've created our own little G gods in our world. And we've been so hopeful that that was going to be the answer. I mean, reality shows in our world that not everybody's following God, and even those that are Christ followers at times can make our own little God idols out of anything, out of sports, out of what we have, out of what we hope for, out of ourselves, and at times when we feel overwhelmed, there's nothing there. The only thing that could heal the nation, our culture, and you is God. But maybe, just maybe, we've often acted more like the prophets of Baal, trying to get the attention of things that actually don't even matter. And God's over here just whispering. And we're over here yelling and trying to get attention and trying to make something and try to create something. And God, as Pastor Ken talked about last week, we talked about the last couple weeks, He just wants to talk to you. When Elijah's turn came, he just kind of came up and just prayed. And fire came from heaven. So what are you searching for? I want to do two things for the rest of the time, just for a few minutes. I want to address two things. Number one is, how do we actually know God is existing? How do we know He's actually real? And the second one is simply this: how do we hear God in a whisper? How can we actually know Him and hear Him in a whisper? I love talking to people about whether or not God is real. I find myself in those conversations quite regularly, honestly. Where maybe they think He's real, but they're not really sure. I want to give you a few reminders maybe this morning that might help remind you that God actually is there. He's actually existing. The first one is this, just three. There's a bunch I can give you, but three real quickly is this. The first thing is that God is in nature and He is a designer. That God is in nature and He is a designer. In Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glories of God, and the sky above proclaim His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, talking about nature, to night revealing knowledge. And it says that there's no speech, there are no words whose voice is not heard. Their voice, creation's voice, goes throughout all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. I love that gentle reminder. I love the reminder that as soon as we walk outside and we look and we see, you see that God exists in nature around us. And for me, personally, I think God speaks more clearly to me at the beach than anywhere else. Is anybody else with me on that one? I love going to the beach. I love being able just to walk out there. And every time I go out on the beach, I look out and I just say, this is the handiwork of a God. Do you ever go to the beach and think about what's on the other side of you and what's over there and what's happening down the road? It's amazing how we just look and there's God. Then he proclaims it and actually nature, his DNA and is all over, his fingerprints are all over all of creation. I think it's such a good reminder for me at times where maybe I don't see God or maybe I'm struggling to find him. It really, truly it is in the nature. It's in the universe. It's what he's created. The second area is this, which is so important to me and should be so important to us as Christians, is that we have been created in his image. We've been created in his image, and listen, make no mistake about it, out of everything that God created, he created me and you in his very image. We're the only things he created in our image, which, oh, by the way, don't you think that's why the enemy is attacking the image of God right now? He's attacking it and who we think we are, but he's also attacking it in the womb. Listen, if there's something that our church is for, it's for life. I'm just telling you that straight clearly so you understand that we are for life. It starts in the womb. It starts there. We are pro-life. We are for life because God created life. Right now, it's being attacked all over our nation. And it's such a crazy thing to be in that we have to set laws on when a person actually becomes a person. Isn't it crazy? But look at what the enemy's doing. Look at how the enemy has moved in and said, well, that's not life until later, or it's not life until the baby's actually born, or it's not life. No, no, no. Listen, I don't need some scientists. I don't need anybody else. Psalm 139 tells me the truth. It simply says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. Our frame was not hidden from God when he was being made in secret. He was intricately woven in the depths of the earth. And God saw our unformed substance and wrote our days out before they were ever established. This is why this is so important. But if you want to see God, all you got to do is look at the person next to you. Because that person was created by God just like you were. I think it's also a reminder for me at times that you and I will never look into the eyes of somebody that Jesus does not love. Even that crazy neighbor of yours, even that relative, even that boss, even that coworker, even that classmate that gets under your skin, you will never look into the eyes of another person that Jesus does not love just as much as he loves you. Why is that? Well, perhaps it's because he created that person just like he created you. Our DNA of who we are. The next one that I absolutely love is that there is a searching built into everyone's DNA. Everybody that's ever been born has been born with a searching for eternity. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Such a great reminder. This is such a great verse. It says, he has put eternity into the hearts of men. He's put this eternity right inside of who we are. That every one of us has this drawing and this longing to spend time with him in eternity. We have this push, right? We have something inside of us that is calling us to God and calling us to himself, that there's something powerful about that. So I'm 47 now, and I just hit the age this year for a couple of things. Number one, I already shared, 47 is now the official age where you take naps, so we have already established that. That happens. 47 is also the age where I now have to do math to tell you how old I am. People ask, well, how old are you? And I'm like, hang on a second. I got to carry the 1, 14 minus 7, take pi, algebra, blah, 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 47, I think. And I always say, I think I'm 47. But it's also the first time, and this is not meant to be morbid by any means at all, but this is the first year where I've started to think that I have more days behind me than possibly ahead of me. And that's a weird place to be in, to be honest. I know many of you have been there before, and I'm not doing it in a morbid, like, I'm going to die way, but we all are going to die someday. That's guaranteed unless Jesus comes back. That's the first year I started to think, I'm 47. Can I make it to 94? Maybe. I hope so. Last night in Saturday night service, somebody shouted out that the average age of men is around 69, and the average age of women is 72. And I thought, well, that's because men have to live with women, so I think that's why we might die earlier. Yeah, Stacy's not here, right? I won't say that at the next service. That's just for your service. But wow, I mean, you think about that, that's 20-something years from now. And I think I'm going to live beyond that. But you start to think about that. But I will tell you that there's something actually from that verse that has spoke to me this year probably more than before. Because before, when you're young, you never think about it. At least I didn't. You don't really think about that much. But now I'm 47. And I know I'm not old. I know I'm not old. And I know a bunch of you are going to come up after and be like, hey, I'm 62, so I guess I'm done. No, you're not done. You got lots of good years left in you. But that verse started to become more real this year than ever before. That there's this longing in my heart that maybe wasn't even there a year or two ago of just eternity. This drawing to who God is for eternity. But that's not just me. That's something that God actually placed inside of us. That God has placed the drawing and the longing of eternity inside every person. And so if I'm going to navigate through this the rest of my life, then I also want to know how I can hear him in the whisper. I want to encourage us with a few things as I begin to wrap up on how to hear God in the whisper. Church, don't miss this. This is something I wish I would have done when I was 16 or 17 or 25 or 30. I wish I would have learned how to hear God in the whisper. I really do. And by the way, it's not too late for you to hear him in the whisper. I've often looked for God in the big, and I imagine many times I missed him in the quiet, in the whisper. And I think, frankly, that God would rather speak to me in the quiet and in the whisper than have to shake a mountain or have to send a fire or have to send strong winds. I'm going to share with you a verse here in just a moment that is just amazing. Before we get there, I want to encourage you with something about the whisper. Number one in the whisper is God's not hiding from you. So don't ever think he's hiding from you. Don't ever think that he's ashamed of you and he's hiding from you and he's running away from you and he's disappointed to the point that he's just kind of got his hands in his ears and he's not listening to you. That is not the God that we serve. He's not hiding from you. In Romans 1:19, it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. And it's speaking about his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature. And it says this, it has been clearly perceived ever since where? Here's a good tie. Since what? Since the creation of the world. Since God created the world, he has not been hiding from us. He's not been hiding from us. He's near. He's close to you. He wants to be close to you in both things that were made. And it says this in Romans 1:20. It says, so that they are without excuse. In Jeremiah 20-23, he says, am I a God, declares the Lord, that is a God that is close and far away? He's speaking that, saying, no, I'm a God that's close. I'm not a God that's far away. And oh, by the way, you can't hide yourself in a secret place where God cannot see you. It's a good reminder of that. God says this. He says, did I not fill heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? I filled it all. I'm everywhere. There's nowhere you can go where God's presence is not there. He's not hiding from us. The second point is this, is Jesus Emmanuel literally means God with us. 2 months away, by the way, church. Christmas is coming. Super excited about Christmas. Has anybody listened to Christmas music yet? Yeah. Come on. Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:23, we'll hear this a lot. It says, behold, the virgin shall give birth and shall call him Emmanuel, which means God. Jesus' very nature of his name means God with, means he's with you. So don't ever think that God's not with you. Don't ever think he's abandoned you. Don't ever think he's out doing something else. Don't ever think that he's like the prophets of Baal God who's out doing something else while, you know, you're crying out to him. He's not paying attention. No, God's near, and he hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. And I think some of you might need to hear that. But this next one right here, that God is whispering to you and he's directing you. And this is what I wish I learned a long time ago. This is something I'm trying to get better at now. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19, he's speaking to Jerusalem. He's talking about people who dwell in Zion. And he says this, that you will weep no more. He's encouraging them. It says that he will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord, now watch this, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes will see your teacher. And I want you to hear verse 21. Listen to this. And your ears, will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, you will hear a voice that tells you this is the way to go. A whisper. I wish I would have heard that voice or listened to that voice when I was younger. I can't imagine the heartache that would have been saved had I just listened to the voice behind me talking to me. And looking back now on my life, I can certainly see the times now where the Lord was literally almost kind of like behind me as I'm walking going, hey, Andy, you're going to take a right here. Turn right. Don't go left. Turn right. Okay, now stay the path. Just that whisper. Because I also see the parts where I didn't listen to that whisper and then I took a left and I just started walking and you're kind of traversing over this and you find yourself lost. You find yourself far from God in your own self. You find that you're just confused. But guess what? My Bible says that Jesus is right here with us. And he's always speaking, hey, make a U-turn. Pastor Ken and I went to Charleston this week for our conference. And we relied a lot on maps and Siri. I have a love-hate relationship with her, by the way, especially when it comes to the maps. And I think there was a few times where out loud, jokingly, I'm like, I got it. Because it would be like, she would say, turn right at the stop sign. But then she would say it like six times before I got to the stop sign. And then you get to the stop sign, like, turn right. I'm like, I know you want me to turn right. I got it. And then one time we missed our turn because there was construction. And then real quickly, it was like recalculating route, make a U-turn up here and go to this road. And I think, wow, I wish I would have listened to God like that in my youth. I wish I would have listened to when I was like that when I was a youth pastor. I wish I would have listened to that voice when I was a young husband and a young father. I wish I would have listened to that voice this week at times. And I think what happens is oftentimes we maybe look for God in the mountain shaking or in the fire or in the earthquake or in the wind, or we look for some other way for God to show us himself. And I'm just here to tell you that could it be that he's just right behind you, whispering in your ear, telling you which way to go? And the only way you hear that whisper is in the quiet. It's in the gentle breeze. It's in the intentionality of intimacy. That's when I hear his voice, when I draw near to him. The Bible assures us that when we draw near to him, what does he do? It says he draws near to us. When I draw near to God, he draws near to me, and I hear that voice so much clearer. It's in the quiet. I've completely loved the way that we've ended our services for the most part, and we're going to do the same thing this morning. And honestly, it's a time of reflection. And I'm going to ask you three questions, and then Jordan and Abigail and Ovi are going to lead us in this wonderful rendition of Quiet. And it's meant for you just to sit and just to receive it. And there's going to be three questions that I want you to wrestle with maybe this morning, and that's this. The first one is, what are you searching for? What is it you're searching for? What is that miracle that you need from God today? The second one is this, is what's been distracting you from hearing God's voice? And the third one is, what do you need to do to build quiet into your life to hear from God? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the way you speak to us. I really do. And certainly, God, sometimes you get our attention through the big things. But often I think that just like Elijah, maybe you want to speak to us in just the gentle whisper, in the quiet. So Lord, I pray even right now that you would get rid of distractions around us. Right now as we wrestle with the questions of what really do I need from you? What am I searching for? What's distracting me? How can I build in quiet into my life to hear from you? God, I pray even in this moment right now that we would hear you from behind us, telling us which way to go. In Jesus' name, amen.